If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to be doing a survey, kind of John 20 and 21. So we'll be all over those two chapters. So it'd be good to just start there. But as a general question to the congregation, how is Christmas? Good? Yeah, it's usually a good time of year. It's, for many, the high point of the season. For many families, we get all of us from all over the place, and we come together and we celebrate. Christmas is a time that much thought has been put into. There was a lot of thought put into gifts. There was a lot of thought and planning put into parties. There was lots of thoughts put into cards, and thank you all for the cards that we received. Our fridge was full. Christmas is also a time where there has been so much planning. Like I said, from parties to what card you're going to send out. If you do them online, there's 8,000 options, right? If you do the Christmas card thing. Services, we did a lot of planning for the services that took place over the Christmas season. Some of you here can agree with this, that over Christmas there has been so much travel. Whether you drove or you flew or you did a combination of the both, there's a lot of travel that has happened over Christmas. And some of you might say this in both a good way and in a bad way. Over Christmas there has been so much family. Maybe in certain cases too much. But it's a beautiful time of year that we gather, we celebrate, and we remember the gift of Jesus. How I want to phrase it this morning is that we celebrate the coming of the light. That the world was a dark place. And as we read in our call to worship from John 1, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of the world has come. Hope in human form. That's what we celebrate. And so, yes, we might put trees in our house and we might put ornaments on them and we might set gifts beneath them. We might go on vacations and we might throw parties and we might wear ugly sweaters and do all the different things and have all the different traditions, but the light has come. That's what we celebrate. And maybe for some of you, when it's all finished, when it's all over, you start thinking, now what? There's so much that goes into Christmas. There's so much that goes into the planning, into the celebrating, into the services, into the gathering, all of it. And you get to the place where you ask, now what? You know, the things are finished. Gifts are opened. Cards have been sent and received. Parties are over. Services concluded. For many of you, some of the family that has visited have left. Now what? And if we're honest, we ask this question in a lot of different points, in a lot of different contexts in life. When a diagnosis is delivered that we did not expect, now what? When we receive a call or a message from school about the behavior of a child, now what? When you have a toddler at your knees asking 1,000 questions and there's just one more, now what? Or maybe some of us ask in excitement for the next thing coming. Christmas is done, now what? Is there a birthday? Is there a birthday in the family? Or maybe we look forward to Easter, now what? The reality is that we look for the next thing or for the next step to take. This morning, now that Christmas is finished, that you're reminded that the light has come, maybe you find yourself pondering or asking, now what? Our call and our duty as those who claim Christ, those who follow his teachings, we answer now what with share the light. The call for me, the call for you, it's not just for pastors, it's for all of us that sit here this morning, is to share the light. The light has come. You may be asking, now what? You may be asking out of excitement. You may be asking out of difficulty or despair. But our duty remains the same, whether we find ourselves in the valley or on the mountaintop. The response is to share the light. This is our call. You and I have been given a gift. The gift of God's own Son, hope in human form, born in a dark cave in Bethlehem, perfect, spotless, without blemish, lived a perfect life, died and was raised. Now what? Share the light. We've become comfortable in our Christian culture with keeping the knowledge of the light to ourselves. We have become comfortable claiming Christ and saying nothing about him. We have become comfortable with not making disciples. We have become comfortable with not sharing good news with our neighbor. We have become comfortable staying the same. Anybody and everybody that encounters Jesus can't stay where they are. Then you didn't meet him. The light pushes the darkness away, and as the light grows, there's less and less darkness within you, within me. The light has come. Our duty is to share the light. But there are things that hold us back. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning, the things that hold us back. And we see this in Jesus' own disciples, the ones who walked with him step by step. So turn with me to John 20. John chapter 20. We're going to start at verse 6. John 20, verse 6. Then Simon, Peter, came, following him, that is John, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying, but with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Why this passage? I just want you to think along the lines of being a disciple. So Jesus, what we know and what we've celebrated at Christmas is that Jesus is born. You know, he grows up, he matures, he begins a ministry. He calls his disciples by name, follow me. And they do that. And these disciples walk with Jesus for the better part of a year and a half to 2 years. And they hear amazing teachings from this Jesus. Things that they had not heard before. In fact, the crowds would say he taught in such a way that he had authority that had never been expressed before, that people had not experienced before. And not only the amazing teaching, but they saw miraculous signs. Jesus helped blind men to see. He helped people who were paralyzed walk. He touched lepers and they became clean, and he himself remained clean. He brought dead people back from the dead to life. They saw some amazing, miraculous, unexplainable things, and it was undeniable to them that he was the Son of God. Peter says, "You are the Messiah." He claims it. And then Jesus is crucified. Now what? How can this be? Imagine being the disciples. All that you have seen, all that you have witnessed Jesus conquer, and then he dies like every other man you've ever known. How can this be? He's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now he is dead. How can this be? I believe that the disciples were afraid and lost. How I read John, this section of John, is that when Peter and John show up, I don't know if they believe that Christ is risen. I think what they believe is that his body has been taken. If you read earlier in the chapter, it says that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone taken away. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple and said, "They have taken our Lord out of the tomb." So when it says they believed, I think Peter and John believed that he was gone, not that he was alive. And then they go home. Now what? He died, and now they took his body. This body of our Savior is disappeared. And if we keep reading in the chapter, they go home and they lock the door. Look at verse 19 of chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the very first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Fear holds us back from sharing the light. You know, throughout human history, we've seen martyrs that have died, and it inspired their followers to go out, to make a stand, to claim the truth, even though there was danger and fear. And what the disciples do in their fear is they go home and they lock the door. Who has the good news about the light? They do. Think about it presently. Who has the good news about the light? You do. And how often we go home, in a sense, and we lock the door. We keep it for us. They were not inspired to go out and claim the goodness of Christ. They responded in fear. And here's what's beautiful. In their fear, the light shows up. In their fear, the light shows up. If we continue in verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." In their fear, the light shows up. The good news of the light cannot be stopped by a locked door. The good news of the light cannot be stopped by the fear of the followers. It appears among them, Jesus. And he meets them where they are, with their fears and with their doubts. And then Jesus, as the master teacher, says, I was sent by the Father, I am sending you. Message received, right? Hopefully. What are they supposed to do? Go. Be sent. Share the good news. Share the light. But they don't. We'll continue. Verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he, that is Thomas, said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Disbelief holds us back from sharing the light. Fear holds us back. Disbelief holds us back. Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus showed up, and Thomas says, unless I see it, I won't believe. Thomas gets a bad rap. At least he's honest. Many of us would think and feel the same things as Thomas. Most of us are probably more like Thomas than the other disciples. Unless I see it, unless I experience it, I won't believe. How similar are we? We create tests in our minds. Well, I'll know God is real and that he loves me if he does fill in the blank. I just need a sign, Lord. Show me that you love. Show me that you're real. Unless I see it, I won't believe. I can't. And in Thomas's disbelief, the light shows up. Look at verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. There's a lot going on here. First, are they out teaching and preaching? No, they're in the house again, behind a locked door with the good news of the light. And this is 8 days after their first encounter with Christ. Jesus said, I am sending you. They stayed put. Jesus has said to you, brothers and sisters, I am sending you. Do you stay put? Do you sit on your butt behind the locked door with the good news of the light? And how gracious it is for Jesus not only to show up a second time, but for Jesus to show up and meet Thomas in his disbelief. Look at how it continues, verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, and put your hands in the place of my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen and yet believed. Not seen and yet believed. Jesus doesn't show up and berate Thomas. Jesus doesn't show up and scold him. Jesus shows up and says, put your hands here and here. See. He meets him in his disbelief. He does it in a personal way. And how beautiful it is. And the light will do the same thing for you. The light will meet you in your disbelief. Third, our old life holds us back from sharing the light. Our old life holds us back from sharing the light. We're in John 21 now. John 21, verse 1. After this, so this is after the encounter with Thomas. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They, those with him, said, "We will go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but by night they had caught nothing. So help me out. How many times has Jesus showed up? Twice. The first time he says, "I'm sending you as my Father has sent me." The second time he meets the disciples, specifically Thomas, in their disbelief. And now the third time, are they out teaching and preaching the gospel? No. They went back to their old life. They're fishing. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other guys say, "We'll go too." And they get in the boat and they fish all night and they catch nothing. Our old life holds us back from sharing the light. When you met Jesus, whether it was recent or a long time ago, you went from an old way of life to a new way of life. But so often the old way calls us back. And we start to go fishing. We're not fishermen anymore. At least not fishers of fish. Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." Go share the light. And after all they've seen and all they've heard, and after witnessing the risen Savior twice, they go back to their old life. Brothers and sisters, I know that you have testimony that the Lord has showed up for you. That you have seen him move and seen him act in amazing ways. And how often we go back to the old way of life. That we get in the boat and we start fishing for fish instead of fishing for men. Walking in their old life, doing the things they used to do, guess who shows up? The light. Let's read verses 4 through 14. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." Jesus said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." I love that. You will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had stripped it for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards offshore. When they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. If anyone, side note, wants to claim that the Bible is not real, this is a really random number to put in if you're making it up. Yeah, just put 153 in there. I guarantee those guys counted because they couldn't believe how full the net was. 153 fish. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. And this now was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Walking in their old life, being fishermen, the light shows up. He helps them catch 153 fish. He preserves their nets so that they do not burst. And he serves them breakfast. He communes with them and fellowships with them. I'm sure that as he blessed the bread and he blessed the fish, that they had memories of that Passover supper that they had with Jesus, that they knew it was him. And again, Jesus meets them where they are. Jesus will meet you where you are. The light shows up. And you wonder, at least I wonder, if Jesus showed up in this way to reveal to them that I will yet make you fishers of men. And you will go out and you will catch many. And because of me, the nets will not burst. What a powerful image. So there are things that hold us back from sharing the light. Our own fear, fear of rejection, fear of what others will say, fear of what others will do, our own disbelief. At times it's hard to believe this thing we call Christianity. It seems too good to be true. At times our old life will creep in. And we'll go back to the old way of doing things. And we'll keep it all to ourselves. But your duty, my duty, brothers and sisters, whether life is good or life is hard, is to share the light. Jesus charges Peter, and I want to use Jesus' words to charge you. Chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Brothers and sisters, Jesus says to you this morning through his words, not mine, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me, share the light." No longer do we hide behind the locked door. No longer do we keep the good news to ourselves. We go out and we tell. So the application is simple. Share the light. People are looking. The world is a dark place. You only have to turn the news on for about 5 minutes to see it. People are looking for light. Your job is to share it. One of the things I love about the candlelight service is how one light lights another and another and another and another. And all of a sudden, the entirety of this space is filled with light from one. So may it be in our community and in our world that you would be one who shared with one. So do it this way. Here's what I suggest. Ask yourself the question, do you know someone who needs the light? If you do, pray for them and pray for you. Pray for them that they would be open to receive. Pray for yourself that you would have the courage to give. Second, seize the opportunity. Every time I have prayed for an opportunity, God has granted it. So when he does, take it. When the opportunity comes to share the light, do not be the one who sits behind the closed door, locked with that information to yourself. Give it away, just as it was given to you. Third, don't go back to being someone who hides in the dark. You are a child of the light. Share it over and over and over again. That is your call and that is mine. May we do it.